咚咚咚咚咚咚咚。What's up, George? What's going on in the House of Craze tonight?
In the House of Craze tonight, we have Mr. Grant Lankard. He is going to be talking to us about Beowulf. It's his comic book that he's got a Kickstarter for. So that's coming up next. Check it out.
Let's get it.
Only show for independents all around, giving you a platform to spread your word all over town. Cast the Craze is the place to promote to your fans with the dream of Medina and Sam the Crazy Man. Subscribe to our show and never miss an episode. It's time to get your meds, listen to us on the go. Updated every week, we never miss a day. Join the squad, come on in, it's time to cast the Craze. If you are an independent,
cast the Craze!
Making moves on your own,
cast the Craze!
On your grind in the streets,
cast the Craze!
Join the movement,
cast the Craze!
Yeah, George, we did it again. Come on now, you know you want to do it. Cast the Craze.
Welcome to Cast the Craze Podcast. I'm your host with the most, Sam the Crazy Man Vera, and I am with
George the Dreamer Medina. What's happening, everybody? Welcome to another exciting episode of Catch the Craze. We are live with another Kickstarter, and I see we have a little sneaky guest over here, Mr. Duty in the house.
Hello.
That's the plush toy that you would get if you pledged to the Kickstarter campaign that's going on live for Duty. But before you do that, and if you are interested in hearing about independent artists, whether it be music, comics, or anything independent, please hit that subscribe button, like, and hit the bell so that you know when we're going live. Tonight, we're going to have a special guest, Mr. Grant Lankard, who is the third time on the show. He is a repeat offender, as we like to call him, and he's been on the show. This is the third time. Episode 241, 327, and now 386. Yay! So for all of those who want to check out some of the stuff that we've talked to Grant before about, check that out. But what's going on with you, Sammy? What's happening, my brother?
Another Crazy has arrived.
Ooh, yeah.
Johnny in the house.
What up, Johnny?
Let's support my brothers from another mother.
Johnny.
And Vega and Jorge Medina Hay. And pleasure to disable my toilet.
Yes.
It's good. Yeah, I've been busy. Busy.
DC, yeah, man.
The weather's unpredictable out here in Texas. I've been busy promoting this campaign, doing what Grant is doing, the hitting the circuit, pimping myself on the streets, getting out there. I think it's like 27 podcasts now.
Gotta do it.
It's nuts. Tomorrow's a long day. I'm going to be on Indie Comics Explained right after they're on our show tomorrow night at 8 o'clock.
That's right.
So they're on at 8 with us. Then we're on with them at 9. So tomorrow's a long day.
Big shout out to Keith Gleason and Johnny C. They'll be on the show tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. So make sure you check that out. Yeah.
Yeah. Check out their channel. These guys are legit.
Yeah. Legit.
The coolest.
Keith actually holds a comic book convention. And forgive me, Keith, I don't know the name of the convention right off the top of my head. I'll search it. But he's got a convention that he does that he actually promotes. So that's kind of cool coming up later on this year. I think he's still doing it. We'll talk to him about that tomorrow. But yeah, my brother, so Duty, so talk to us about there's an alien in my toilet. What's going on so far? What you got? Any updates? What are some of the updates?
We're like a train that keeps chugging away. We're 54 backers. We're still not at goal yet. I think it was like 84%, or I think that's what it was. I'm not sure. You know, so we're still pushing it. You know, it's all ages. So all ages is always a lot harder than your traditional comic to push, which is why I'm surprised, especially in this toxic era that we're in, where there's just so much, you know, tension. You know, that people would not want to lighten up the mood and laugh with Duty. It's an all ages comedy series. It's, you know, fun for the whole family. It has 4 pages of activities and puzzles and trivia. Thank you for the 54 backers. It's a lot more than what we did with Forbidden. And so we're just hoping that the next 2 days we can have that goal in, and so that we can start working towards the stretch goal. And as a bonus incentive, if we get to one of the two first, if we get to 150 backers or 5K, then one lucky backer is going to get this 6-inch Duty. Is going to be custom painted by me.
Look at that belly. Look at that belly.
Look at that belly. Look at that. You know, that's loving in the oven, bro. That's loving in the oven, right? So one lucky person, I'll raffle this off, this custom Duty figure. Again, this is there are 10 prototypes, which I'm pitching. And
Sam, give yourself the screen so we can see that thing better.
Give yourself the screen.
Yeah, see, I want to check this. Get that bad boy out.
I'm a bear. Hold on. Oh, Sam. Bang. There me. There you go. So I think the lighting. Let me move that light.
It's tough to see him, right? Like there is detail in the face. It's just hard to see it in the
light. Yes, it's hard to see with the light because you know what? Because the computer. Oh, let me angle it there. Boom. There you go.
Oh yeah. Look at that. Yeah. Look at the collar. So this is military duty. Is that who he is?
This is military duty. And he actually makes his appearance on issue number 2. Yeah, it's hard. The light's crazy up in here.
Because you're in the cockpit. They still got you.
I'm still in the cockpit, you know. So because we haven't made goal, they won't let me come back to Earth. Damn. So I have to stay aboard this ship as we orbit the planet. Mm. You know, and from time to time, after they allow me to do this, and then
gotcha.
And then what they do is, you know, he puts me outside and he has me floating in space. Mm. As punishment until we make goal.
Gotcha.
His emperor's no joke.
Yeah, no, he's no joke. Well, are they feeding you though? You look like, you know, you're getting fed.
Yeah, they do. They're making sure I'm healthy because they went to communicate. Right. But he did say that if we don't make gold, then he'll just let me float.
Okay. And so he may just lose you completely.
That's it. So I need you. Help me.
Yeah.
Help me. You got to make the goal. You know, we got to get Duty those uranium chips to head back to Uranus because this, you know, it's tough up here, bro.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, dog.
You know what it's like when you're trying to pee in space and then it floats and you got to dodge it so it doesn't hit you?
Yeah, Matrix style.
It's like,
yeah.
It warned me the first time.
I don't know how it works up there in space, but yeah, I took your word for it. That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's nuts. Wow. So all right. So listen. So we're about what were we at? 1250, 1264, I think, right now.
Yeah, we're at 1264.
54 backers. Now you added a couple of bundles over the weekend, and you added a couple of things the last couple of days. So
yeah, the Sam special was very popular. You know, that we had 4 people scoop that up this weekend. I just put down the Duty special, which is all encompassing. You know, some feedback was, you know, there's so many options. Can we get everything in one spot? So I did a special Duty, which is a huge savings. If you do the math and you break everything out individually, you're going to save a lot of money. Yeah. So I did that. And then there's a podcaster in the Indie Comic Creator and Podcaster special. So this special allows you to get the book and the trading cards and also get a month of free advertising on Catch the Craze podcast. So that means you get a 30-second commercial each week for a month on Catch the Craze podcast promoting either your podcast or your comic book if you're an indie creator. So you get the best of both worlds. So there's that special there as well. So there's an incentive for everybody. There's a retail bundle. There's an educator's bundle for his teachers. So there's a lot of options.
Yeah, yeah. Do they get the so for the podcasters, would they get that once the campaign ends, right? And you get all the funds and
once everything's confirmed and reconciled with Kickstarter. Same thing with the raffle. You know, if we get to the point where I need to raffle this off, you might be selected the winner, but if the funds don't clear, then I pick another winner and do another raffle for somebody else.
Gotcha. You're painting that thing? Is it going to be a painted duty or is it going
to be? Yes, I was scheduled to paint this week, but it's been raining. And so I'm not painting indoors because I have to prime up first. I got to do a prime coat first, and then I'm going to custom paint each one of them. So I'm going to paint five first. I'm going to leave five raw because some people like to paint their own. And we'll see if the painted ones sell fast, then I'll paint them all.
Nice. Yeah, man, you're definitely hustling it out there. And, you know, you mentioned being on different podcasts and stuff like that. I think you're going to be in Raging 2 next week, right, on Monday?
Yeah.
You're going to be with Talking to the Girls. And that's for those who don't know Raging 2, make sure you go over there, subscribe to that channel. Nita and Daphne Lage, Nita Lanning and Daphne Lage, they're doing their thing on that show. So check it out. Make sure you do that. You're also going to be on C. Michael Lanning's show at the end of the month.
He has a new show, which is pretty dope. He hit me up and he was like, in fact, we're doing his show. It's the last day of the campaign, the last hour of the campaign. I'll be on his show to close out the tour and the campaign. In fact, here is a list of the tour. Today is the 22nd. So tomorrow is Indie Comics Relay. And then Thursday, I'm on Story Comic at 7 p.m. and Brutal Planet Comics at 9 p.m.
So, all right. So before you continue, Sammy, is what I was asking you.
I don't know.
Exactly. So for those people, don't snapshot. Yeah, don't save that because we're not sure if they're live or if they're pre-recorded shows. Those are the shows that he's slated to be interviewed on.
I do know that. Let's see. KromCon is live. I'll be on KromCon Saturday.
Right, some of them are, right? So, like Raging 2 is live at 11:15.
Yeah.
Dispatches from Outside the Box.
Two Geeks Talking is live. I'll be on that one on Saturday. So, Saturdays is two of them. There's Two Geeks Talking and KromCon. 3 p.m., 6 p.m. Spoiler Country is on Friday at 7 p.m. So, it's a really hefty podcast tour. And, again, thank you to all you podcasters out there. And if you guys had YouTube channels and I'm a guest on your show, I already subscribed to you. And if you're on the audio platforms like Apple, I followed you. So it's just my way of just saying thank you and showing love in return.
Yeah. So, check those interviews out, especially with the ones that are coming up that we know that are live. Go on there, chat it up, ask any questions you may have. Yeah. So yeah,
I just promoted The Enthusiast because I was on it a couple of days ago and it's live on now, and now it's on, it was pre-recorded, so now it's on his channel.
Nice.
So I posted it today. It's The Enthusiast. It's a full show where he talks about it. The big Phantom, the character Phantom fan. So he has a whole encompassing talk show, variety show, and my interview is about maybe 10 or 15 minutes of the show.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, no, that's dope, man. Hey, got to do it. And for everybody who knows about campaigning and doing these Kickstarters, you know that this is part of what has to be done, which is what Grant Lankard, our guest tonight, is going to be doing today. He's going to be talking to us about his Kickstarter campaign, Beowulf. And, you know, we want to thank him for coming back on the show. And, you know, we're the source. We're his source for promotion. So we appreciate you.
What you need is the source. The underground sound coming through called the main source. Remember that?
Right. The source. The source. But yeah, man. So that's what we got going on. Don't forget that on Thursday morning, we're going to be doing the morning crew the morning brew
with the crazy crew. Yes.
We're going to be doing that. Episode number 2 airs on Thursday. We're going to be talking about a few things that are happening within our indie community.
Sam, crazy,
show us if you picked up any books at the store. I know I'm going to tomorrow. I'm going, tomorrow's a comic book day, so I'll stop by my local comic book shop, see what's going on with Spider's Web and the guys over there. Big shout out to them. And so, yeah, we're going to have some fun stuff, and we're going to be talking some fun things Thursday morning, so make sure you tune in.
And this is a follow-up to the conversation that I started on the Crazy Nintendo Less on Monday, where we talked about trust in your instincts. Whenever something smells fishy, it normally is fishy. So we're going to follow up on that conversation on Thursday morning with my, while I have my robe and my glasses on and my cup of Joe, my cup of Java.
That's right. We'll take that robe off. Don't be just robing on the air.
Hello. Hello. Oh, I can't wait. I think, did it air already? The new Madea movie? I can't wait. Oh, man. I'm a big fan of Madea. You don't understand.
I hear you, dog. I hear you.
So, you know,
Tyler Perry's done some huge things with his career. He's done a lot.
A lot of things.
Humble beginnings. Talk about an indie.
Yes. So before we bring our guest in, we're going to play this bump from Girls from Ranger.
Yeah, let's do it.
Hi, everyone. Daphne Lage here. Join Nita Lanning and me on the Ragin' 2 The Vlogs show, where we talk about everything, nothing, and all the bits in between. Looking for hour-long conversations about indie comics, social media marketing, and crowdfunding, with the occasional rant and story time? Head on over to the Ragin' 2 channel on YouTube, Mondays through Fridays at 11 a.m. Eastern to join in the chat.
Hit the button.
Daphne's she's a natural. What's going on, Grant?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good. Welcome back.
So something that I wanted to mention, since you guys just played the Ragin' 2 thing, is that Beowulf number 3 is dedicated to Meredith.
That's awesome.
Oh, look at that. That is awesome.
That's awesome. That is awesome. And for those who don't know, Meredith Lagren was the original, one of the original members of the Ragin' show, and she passed away, unfortunately. Rest in peace to her. So that's awesome, Grant. I'm glad you're doing that, brother. Yeah, she was amazing, dude. She was so amazing. Very talented, gifted at what she did with not just the show, but everything else behind the scenes that she did there. But Grant, thank you so much for coming on, man. Welcome back. This is third time's the charm over here, brother.
Thank you guys so much for having me on so many times.
Yeah, I know. It's like he's a squatter now.
We're going to start charging rent. Nah, man, that's awesome, brother. So you had Beowulf number 1 the first time you came on last year, I think it was. Then you had the Memoirs of the Morbid, right? Which was great. Did great on Kickstarter. And now you have Beowulf number 3. So we missed Beowulf number 2, but Beowulf number 2, for those who don't know, the story of Beowulf, and we'll let you talk about it a little bit. Beowulf number 1 and 2, you can get on this campaign if you need to catch up. So that's awesome. But tell us what's been going on, Grant. What's been going on since the last time you were on the show a few months ago?
Well, you mentioned already, we did Memoirs of the Morbid. We not only put that on Kickstarter, we got it fulfilled. And that was a pretty big success. And now we're coming back with Beowulf number 3. Other than that, just I think the same stuff everybody's been doing, right? We're still kind of in quarantine, but not really.
Right.
I don't know. It's kind of a confusing time.
Yeah, no, I agree. Now. I just want to pull out, there's the Memoirs of the Morbid. Cool cover, brother.
Look at you.
I got that not long ago. So that was cool, man. Yeah, it looks great.
No, cool. You got the hologram cover.
Was that?
You got the hologram one.
Yeah.
George is a big spender, you know.
Yeah. Nah, man, I tell Sam all the time, man.
George's got deep pockets, you know. Every 10 campaign he backs, I back one because, you know, I'm a brokepreneur. You know, George is living the vida loca.
Nah, dude, listen, I told you, like, off the air, if I like a campaign that we're talking about, you got my money. Like, you come on here, it's almost like a guaranteed pledge. As a matter of fact, I already pledged to Beowulf number 3, so just so you know.
Yeah, but, that's right. I think I remember seeing that.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I love it, man. I love it. I support you guys. And
you got a twofer. You got both of us.
I think I need to sign up for Alien in My Toilet.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, you become a dudester. What's up with that?
A dudester. Yeah, brother. I mean, listen, you know what it's like to be on the tour and doing all of these things. What have you found has been the hardest thing about being on the tour and the best thing about being on these tours and doing these podcasts?
The hardest thing, a lot of times it seems like a lot of these podcasts and YouTube shows ask like the same questions. So I end up having to like answer the same question over and over. Like, you guys are pretty good, but there have been some where it's just like, you know, you're answering the same questions over and over again. The best thing is getting to talk with all my fellow indie comic creators.
Yeah.
And getting advice, kind of talking shop, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree, man. I agree. I actually, it's funny that you say that, because when you do, and Sam, you've been doing a lot of these interviews. It's true. The questions become a little redundant. What are some of your favorite questions, though? Like, do you have any favorite questions or questions that you're like, wow, I haven't been asked that, and I like that one?
I honestly, the question you just asked me, nobody's ever really asked me, like, what I enjoy or and don't enjoy about doing publicity. I mean, obviously, I'd rather be working on my comic book than doing publicity. You know, I mean, sometimes it's kind of nice. You know, you get, like I said, you do get to talk to your fellow comic book creators.
Yeah.
And I guess share war stories is kind of a way of wording it, right?
Yeah, no, I agree. You know what it is, too? I think, so you've been on the show a few times, so I think the rapport is a little different. Whereas when you go on a show for the very first time, they want to know a little bit about you. And listen, don't get me wrong. Sometimes you got to do that because the audience is different. So the people who maybe tuned in 11 months ago have no idea who Grant Lankert is. We know that.
Frozen?
They don't know. What happened?
I was frozen there for a second, but I think I'm good now.
Okay, good, good, good. Crazy has arrived. Oh, Michael Sammartino. Welcome. Welcome, Michael. So, hey, Mike. Yeah, Grant. Yeah, Mike's always on the chat. I love it. I love it.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about Beowulf. I mean, this is what we're here to talk about. So what where are we with Beowulf?
So Beowulf is the story of Mooney. He's an 8th century wizard reincarnated as a cat. And he and his owner, Hazel, they have simultaneous visions of a dragon waking after 1,000 years. So it's Mooney's idea to go after the legendary dragon slayer, Beowulf, who unfortunately has been reincarnated as an unemployed 30-something slacker. So the first three issues are pretty much them getting him ready to go up against the dragon, which we're not going to see in issue 3, but we're going to see that in issue 4, him going up against the dragon.
Nice. Nice. So are you, so it's an ongoing story, right? Obviously, or do you have like a point where it ends and maybe you can pick it up somewhere else, or
this storyline is going to finish after 6 issues, but I'm sure there's going to be more stories to come after that.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, Grant, the book is fun, man. I like the way you leave the cliffhangers after every issue where like you got to pick up the next one. So you're doing a very good job at just keeping me turning that page. So I congratulate you for a great job writing the book. And not just the writing, but also the artwork. So tell us a little bit about your team and you know, who are these people helping you out?
So my friend Antonio Brandao, he does the pencils. And then I do the inks and the colors and the letters, but I think I do the art under pseudonyms so that it doesn't look like it's just two people doing it.
Nice. Nice.
I don't know why I do that. Like I was worried that it would look unprofessional if it was just like me doing all the stuff, but I don't know.
That's awesome. I didn't know that. I had no idea. That's cool, man. Yeah. Wow. So you're doing more than just the writing behind the scenes. People think, oh yeah, Grant's a writer. And meanwhile, you're doing all these other things. Because I remember from the last time we were on, you have a background in design. So you do know what you're doing. It's not like you're just like, you know what? I just don't want to pay anybody to do it. I'm just going to do it myself. You actually do have a background in design. Tell us a little bit about your background for those who don't know Grant.
Yeah, so after I graduated from high school, I wanted to go into comic books. You know, everybody was saying like, oh, you can't make any money at that. It's such a crapshoot. You might make money, you might not. So I ended up going to school for graphic design because that felt like it was kind of related, but you could still make money at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like everybody told me, oh, it's a creative field. It's a creative field. And it really isn't. Everybody comes to you, they already have their idea planned out. Nobody comes to you with and just says, oh, I don't know what I want to do, do you have any ideas?
Right.
So it's kind of a really boring cubicle job, and so I was kind of miserable doing that for years and years. And then when the quarantine happened, I definitely had always wanted to make my own comic book. And I thought to myself, you know, if I don't do this now, I'm never going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Did you find it difficult, like as far as the writing part of it? Because I know you knew the design part of it, but did you find putting this story together and putting these ideas that are in your head onto the page and making them make sense for the reader? Did you find that was challenging?
The hardest thing I think is editing. I don't know. Do you guys have trouble editing your stories down?
I think some say that's where the writing starts, right, in the editing process. And I think that that's where you actually get to see if it's making sense for me. I don't know about you, Sam, but for me, I think the editing is actually where I can actually go in there and say, okay, now I don't need this. I can take that out. I can put this here. So I enjoy that, but I think it is. I think that can get hard because then you don't know what to take out. You know, they say, yeah, kill the baby sometimes, and you don't know what to take out and what to keep in.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I didn't have any trouble doing the actual writing just because it was a story that had been going through my head for years and years. The thing that I had trouble with was the editing where, you know, I hired an editor and his name is Jason Snyder. And he was telling me, you know, you need to trim this down. And it's funny, I knew the stereotypes that young or beginner writers don't like to edit.
Yeah.
And even knowing that stereotype, I still was just afraid to cut anything. And
what was your biggest fear about cutting stuff, Grant? Not to cut you off. Like what did you fear the most?
You know what? A lot of it was, it would be like, okay, this scene isn't going anywhere, but there was like one piece of dialogue that I really liked.
Yes.
And the thing that stinks is like, okay, even though you really love that one piece of dialogue, sometimes you have to cut that whole scene out.
Yeah. Just for the sake of congratulations, you just got another backer.
All right.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Way I know you got another backer because as I was talking to you,
spread the love. I freaking love it.
Yeah, but whoever backed, if you're listening, thank you so much.
Yeah, I think that was Johnny Boy. Let's see. Yes. Jonathan Safi. Okay. Yeah, I pledged this cool book, y'all.
Yeah. Yes. Jonathan, you're going to enjoy it, brother. It's really good book. It'll be right up your alley. So you're saying, taking things out that you feel like they could totally, like you love that line. Do you find that you now move it somewhere else? Have you tried doing that kind of stuff?
So that's what that would be my big advice about that is, keep a notebook or like a file on your computer or something where you can put all those lines of dialogue that you really like, but you can't necessarily find a place to put them in.
Yeah. So before, you know, without giving too many things away, is there anything, any lines that you maybe kept that you moved somewhere else within this book that we should look out for?
Yeah, I know that happened. I'm trying to think if I can think of any examples right off the bat. I don't know. Without going through the comic book, I can't say for sure.
Yeah.
But I know that there were lines of dialogue that I really liked, and I was like, well, I can't fit that into this scene. Yeah. I have to move it someplace else.
That's awesome, man. That's the process. It's all about the creative process, right? You have to be able to do that. Now, when you're communicating some of the things to your artist, are you guys now editing even further when he picks up the pen and starts drawing?
So I do layouts.
Okay.
I don't know if other writers do that. But I draw it out and he usually sticks maybe 80% mm-hmm. to the layouts that I do. He changes little things, but then I do the inks over his pencils. So if there's a little something that I think is a little bit off, like a lot of times it'll be maybe just like a facial expression isn't quite right.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So I make changes in that too. But so far there haven't been any big disagreements about the layout. Like on the occasions when he has changed, you know, between my layout and his, so far there haven't been any too big arguments.
You know, so, that, go ahead, Sam, go ahead.
You were talking about your process and editing, but so from your first book up to your current state, what has changed in your creative process, and what were some of the takeaways that you took from the first time to now, and some of the best practice that you use?
One of the things was that I hired a flatter. I don't know if you guys work with one, but that really, I mean, it's so cheap, and it speeds up the process so much.
Yeah.
Do you guys know what I mean by a flatter?
Actually, it's funny because Michael San Martino, who's in the chat, he's a flatter. He does that. So yeah, so I totally know what you mean. And actually, a buddy of mine, Anibal, he actually uses him for some of that stuff. And you're right. It does make the process, because that does take time. The flatting process takes a lot of time. So you use that. So you started doing that.
Yeah. So not only does it save time, it's also like really slow and repetitive, which so I appreciate the fact that there are people out there who are willing to do that for me.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So as far as best practice, anything that you use now that you omitted from your process when you first started?
I'm trying to think. I think I'm way faster now. The coloring process is probably my least favorite part. Just because I see you smiling.
I hate it too. it's daunting. It's just, you know, it's a daunting task, which is why I generally outsource most of my coloring.
Like, inking is kind of like, you can kind of get in a groove where you're like, you're inking and it's almost like kind of like meditative, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But coloring, you have to like really think, okay, like which direction is the lighting coming from, you know? I have to make sure there's a shadow here and the highlight there. It's a lot of thought. And a lot of times, like, I'll think that I'm done with the page and I'll realize, oh my God, I still have to go back and do all that.
You know, you mentioned that you do the inking over the pencils. Are you doing this digitally or are you doing this traditionally digitally?
I do everything digitally. Yeah, to me, it's so much easier. I don't know.
Oh, no, you froze.
Yeah.
He froze, right? It wasn't me. I
carry around.
There you go.
Then a bunch of pens. I mean, I'm so spoiled by like the digital process now that if I have to do like a sketch, for somebody, like, I do have a sketch tier on my Kickstarter. So what I'll do is I'll actually draw it in Photoshop, and then I'll print it out and like I'll trace it onto a piece of paper.
Wow! Which
I know that sounds so silly, but drawing stuff on Photoshop is so nice. Like if you make a guy's eye too big, it takes 3 seconds to shrink his eye down a little bit. You know?
Yeah, it's magic, man. It's magic. You know, it's funny that you say the facial expressions, that you're able to change something like that, because I think that is so important in the writing process, right? The emotion on a character's face. And if you get that emotion incorrect, now you got to change, whether it's a line of dialogue, if you weren't doing it yourself, or, I mean, the face has to change. It has to match whatever you're writing on the page. So it's so good that you have that ability to do that.
Exactly. Like, nobody ever talks about, what would you even call that? Like the acting.
Yeah.
In the comic book. Like there are some artists who are better at, you know, the body language and stuff like that. And I have to admit, like, there have been a couple times where Antonio drew something, like, just in the last page that I was inking, he drew Hazel put her hand on Victor's shoulder just to let him know, you know, like a sign of support. Right. And I remember, like, as soon as I saw that, I was like, why didn't I think of that? And I was, so there are some moments where Antonio, I think his ideas are better than mine.
Yeah. Because it is acting, and you want to make it interesting when it's being drawn, because they're not moving. So that one still image has to say so many things about what's going on in the scene. So that's so important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Really, he's frozen again.
Oh, no.
I'm going to pull up his screen.
Yeah, let's pull up the campaign. Let's go right into it. Grant, cool. You're back. There you go. Okay, cool. We're going to pull up your campaign now and just go over what you have. So 101 backers. I can't see the numbers there too much. 2396. And you have 13 days. So you have a little over 2 weeks to go. I mean, a little under 2 weeks to go, I should say. It's March 8th, right?
Yeah, issue number one and issue number two made about 3,000. So like you said, there's 2 weeks left. So I think I can very easily make the same amount that I made on issues one and two.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And where are you with the production of the book, Grant? Like, how far along are you on it?
So everything is done. I just need to send it to the printer.
Cool.
There you go. That's the way to do it.
Here's a sample. Yeah, I've always done that.
Yeah.
This is a sample, the first two pages of the comic book. It's like a nice young couple just going out for dinner, and out of nowhere, they see fire. And yeah, it's a dragon attacking this small, like, Norwegian town.
Cool. What do you do as far as, do you use reference, Grant, for some, I mean, or does your artist use reference for some of this stuff? Whether it's a town or, some movement, something like that?
So in this, I actually looked up a couple of like Swedish, or did I say Swedish? I meant Norwegian.
Norwegian.
Mm-hmm. Norwegian towns just to send him. That's kind of what they look like. They're all kind of like on a hillside like that.
Gotcha. Yeah. There's the cat. There he is.
That's Mooney. That's everybody's favorite part of the comic book.
Yes. So, okay. So just what we have on the screen, just give us the name of these characters for the people who don't know who these characters are.
So the top panel, that's Hazel and Mooney. Mooney is based on my real life cat. And in the comic book, he's the reincarnation of an 8th century wizard. Yeah, I remember the movie Reign of Fire. That was a good one.
Yeah.
So below that, we have the medieval version of Beowulf, at least what he looks like in this comic book. And then below him, we have his modern reincarnation. And you can kind of see that he's a lot less heroic looking.
Yeah. Tell me about why you decided to use reincarnation as what you're writing about in the book.
You know, that's a good question. I just thought, like, the first time I read Beowulf, or read a abridged version of Beowulf, it reminded me of like a superhero comic book. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wouldn't that be cool if I could make like a modern day comic book that was based on the Beowulf mythos? And I guess to me, it seemed like the easiest way to do that was to involve reincarnation.
Yeah. And I like the fact that you make him the complete opposite of what he was, as we know him, as we know Beowulf. You make him this like 30-something-year-old guy who's just like nowhere near what we think of as Beowulf. That's awesome. This comic book is done.
Right. Exactly. So now we have a few new characters that are going to be in issue three. The first drawing are three wood fairies that are going to help Beowulf on his quest. And below that, we have a possible romantic, interest for Beowulf. And below there, we have, of course, Mooney. Mm-hmm. Mooney is trying to train Victor about how to go after this dragon.
That's good, man. I like that. You get what people are saying. Yeah, this looks, it's a fun read. I'm telling you, it's a fun read. And I'm not just saying that because you're on the show. I really did enjoy the book. And I'm glad that you're still, and that's the thing, right? As an independent creator and artist, getting these books out is very tough. How do you do it? Like, if somebody was asking, damn, this guy's got three issues, how did he do it? Do you have any tips or any secrets that you can share for the people out there who are trying to work on their comic, who just can't get it done? What are some of the things that you can help them out with?
So the first thing I would tell them is just do it. Because I talked to so many people on Instagram, Twitter, who asked me that. And when I talk to them, it almost seems like they're trying to talk themselves out of doing it. You know what I mean? To be honest with you, if I had known how much work it was ahead of time, I maybe wouldn't have started doing it. So maybe it was a good thing that I didn't know. The other thing that I would say is you don't have to have everything right away. Like, you can start doing like stuff one little thing at a time. Like, for instance, you guys have your YouTube channel. And I remember, like, a lot of comic book creators, they have a YouTube channel. And that was very intimidating to me. Like, I was like, okay, do I have time to do that and make a website and, you know, continue writing and drawing? You know, you do one thing at a time. Like, you start out, you don't have to have t-shirts, like convention booth posters. Just do one thing at a time. Like, and you can go like once every, like, you can add something like once every 2 or 3 months. Like, you start off with a Facebook page, then eventually you get a website, then eventually you get like a podcast. And then, like, eventually you get t-shirts. Like, on this campaign, we're going to introduce t-shirts for the first time, which is just something that I've wanted to do for a while, but I'd rather, you know, not rush into the process. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's awesome, man. Because you're right. It does get overwhelming sometimes. You think, oh, I got to get all of this done, and nothing gets done because you're just overwhelmed by everything you got to do. So that's excellent. That's excellent advice. Oh, look at that. I like the color you chose. It's that color, the t-shirt?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yes. Nice.
It's different.
Yeah. St. Patrick's Day Parade, here I come.
Dude, so different. It is. It really is. And you got some stretch goals. Are those stretch goals? The trading card, bookmarks, and posters?
Right.
Awesome.
I think we'll probably get the trading cards. The bookmarks is going to be a little bit harder, but...
Right. I got you.
It'll be fun.
No, but trading cards sound like fun. Well, what's the premise behind the trading cards? What are you doing with the trading cards? Are just collector's items, or are you actually using them for something else within the story?
No, I was a 90s kid. I don't know if you guys were. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when Marvel used to sell the Marvel trading cards?
Yeah. Yep. I remember the Joe Jusco set that they used to have.
Joe just goes from Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I collected all of those, and nice. I was like, you know what? If I ever get to do my own comic book, I want to do trading cards, and so that's why trading cards are an option on there.
And you just started those for this campaign, right? For the stretch, as far as a stretch goal, because I don't think were they available on the other campaigns.
They were for issues 1 and 2. I didn't meet the goal for issue 2, but I did meet the goal for issue 1.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, it looks great, Grant. And you know what? The advice that you're giving about, you know, just making sure that A, just get it done. B, you know, take your time. I mean, just do everything, you know, don't do everything all at once, because you're thinking you have this big empire and you're going to create everything all at once. Take your time with it. I think that's excellent. Excellent. And what is Michael saying here,
Sam? Hold on a second. Says, I don't know if this question was asked, but why the title Beowulf? Because it's public domain. I notice a lot of creators are pulling from public domain. Nosferatu is another one I've seen on Indiegogo.
So that's interesting, Michael. A couple people actually tried to talk me out of calling it Beowulf. Just because of what you're saying, that the fact that it's public domain. So I, like, a couple of different people said to me, you do realize you're not going to be able to copyright the name Beowulf. And my philosophy on that is, if, like, somebody wants to steal my idea, that means I must be doing something right. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Now, as far as why Beowulf, It was a story that I read when I was a kid and I really liked. The thing that I liked about it was it reminded me of like a superhero story.
Right.
So that kind of blew my mind. The idea that, you know, all of these ideas are kind of, I don't know what the word is, I guess like kind of like cyclical, where right. it's like, you know, we don't really invent anything. We just put our own spin on the same couple of archetypes.
Yeah. Right.
But I think a workaround for something like that would have been like a subtitle, like Beowulf the something or whatever. Cause that, then at least now it's an original. Yeah. I think the, where Michael has a valid point is it's the title itself. It's like, so, you know, so if you ever get into that situation where now you have an issue, you might have to think of something where you had a subtitle that's part of that symbol.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You know what I also like, Grant, is I think that you have something in that Mooney character. And while Beowulf is the name, right, Mooney mm-hmm. can almost be like your Crypt Keeper, where like right. you have the story of Beowulf, but Mooney is kind of like the character you can pull out of that story and use them for other things. So I think that either way, I mean, I think that something like this is just a way to introduce the world who doesn't know who Grant Lankert is as a writer, artist, creator, and then move on from there. I think the name is one thing. And I think Beowulf, everybody knows, or most people know who Beowulf is and know the story of Beowulf or whatever. But I think that it's a great way just for you to kind of get your foot in the door and say, hey, look, I can do this. You know what I mean? I'm a writer, guys. So check this out. Word. So,
yeah. For future issues or mini series, I'm definitely going to do like spin-offs. Yeah, I do remember the Christopher Lambert Beowulf. What was I saying? Oh yeah, so I definitely want to do spin-offs with Mooney and Hazel.
Yeah.
And something else is, you know, because the story involves reincarnation, I can do all types of different Beowulf stories. Yes. I can do yes. Old West Beowulf. I can do Viking Beowulf, Victorian Beowulf, whatever.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, man, and the reason why I say also with those characters, because those, as much as I loved Beowulf, and I love the title of Beowulf, and I love what you're doing with the character, it was those two characters, right? It was Mooney, and it was a young lady that actually really, I was like, oh, these are some cool characters, like what's going to happen to them. Like I was concerned for them as to what's going on in the story. So I think you have something really good here, Grant, and I'm glad that you're continuing to do it, and I'm glad you have a finished book, and you're putting it out as you finish it, rather than, hey guys, help me complete this thing, because you know sometimes it takes longer than we think, and now we're, you know, a year into it.
I did think about science fiction Beowulf too.
Space Beowulf crossover with Duty. That's funny, man.
Nice.
That is funny.
So I'm going to give you the screen, buddy. Give us the pitch and tell everybody why Beowulf.
Okay, Beowulf is the story of Mooney and his owner, Hazel, discovering that a dragon has woken after 1,000 years. And them going after the reincarnation of Beowulf, who doesn't turn out to be the great hero that they thought he might be. So we're on issue 3 right now, but if you missed issues 1 and 2, don't worry, you can still get copies of those. And I'll always include like a brief summary, like a brief what's happened before this at the beginning of each issue. So yeah, it's on Kickstarter now. Please check it out.
Cool. All right. And then we have one final question for Arellis. Says, how long did it take to complete?
So I keep getting reminders on Facebook, you know, people saying it was almost this time last year that issue 1 came up on Kickstarter. And so, of course, so I'd been working on that about 2 or 3 months before I put it on Kickstarter. So I'd say about the first 3 issues took me about 1 year and 3, maybe 4 months.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Outstanding. Yeah. Now, thank you, buddy, for coming on Cast the Craze. You know, you're always welcome.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. Congratulations again on another successful campaign. You got the Midas touch, you know. So you know, keep it going, and you know, we can't wait to see what happens with you in the future.
And congratulations with there's an alien in my toilet. I mean, I know it hasn't funded yet, but it seems like it's going to, like, in the next couple days.
Thank you, buddy.
Grant, thanks so much, buddy. And, like, you know, you're welcome anytime, man.
Yeah, you guys should be – I do a newsletter where I interview creators. You guys should be
– cool.
If you guys want to be in that, send me a message sometime.
Yeah, you got it, man. Brother. You got it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Later, bud. All right.
So that was another live special with comic book creator, writer. He does it all, Grant Lankard, on Cast the Craze podcast. And we will be coming back in a few minutes with we have another guest, Catherine Calamia. She is a writer for Newsarama. She has a blog. She's also a consultant for campaigns, business partner. So she wears a lot of hats. So she's going to be on the show in at the 8 o'clock mark. So I hope that you guys follow us onto that episode. But yeah, that was another good show.
Yeah, great show. Grant Lankard, great dude. You know, very talented, very gifted. For those who are watching right now, listen, the campaign is great. You know, we're not here to push you guys or pressure you into pledging into anything. But when there is a good project out there, you know, we'll be the first ones to tell you it is a good project and this is a good project. So if you guys want to consider pledging to it, you should. The link is in the show notes. It's also in the chat if you guys are watching live. And yeah, you know, check us out in about 10 minutes because we'll be back live once more with another, you know, guest.
Yeah, so thank you, John, Michael, and Aurelis for joining us. And again, I'm Sam, the Crazy Man Vera.
George, the Dreamer Medina.
And we are
seeing it. Crazy.
No, I was talking about my friend Aquise.
Say my name,
right?
This is what you were thinking?
Crazy.
Oh,
my
goodness.
You described me? Listen, I'm the...
You're listening to Catch the Craze. You are listening to Catch the Craze.
Bobby.